Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's Thursday. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm the Pete part of that particular contingent, and Mr. Luke Moore is joining me. Luke, thanks for coming along. Thanks for hanging out in my studio.
Do you reckon you could do this on your own?
What do you mean?
The way you said that is like, thanks for coming along, as in it's optional. But do you reckon
there's
you could do this on your
own? There's very few podcasts that are just a guy speaking. I mean, that is kind of like, you know, the stereotype of the white man podcast is very much like, that would be distilled down to the very sort of minimum, wouldn't it? Like, that's kind of like homeopathic levels of white man podcast. It's not four people in a room talking about video games or films or whatever. This is very much like, it's one person just delivering a soliloquy to fucking nobody.
Oh, having done several radio shows live where the co-hosts were poor, it's a lot harder. but also,
is this why this show has kind of like sustained? Because I'm an excellent sidekick.
I think we had a vote, didn't we? And I was voted as your sidekick, I think.
Oh, right, okay. You're very much
the main event on this show. But you say that about single men talking into a mic, and that's the podcast. Are you familiar with the far right community in the United States?
Yes,
because
very.
They do a lot of
forums.
Because you look like you are. No, they do. They do a lot of stuff down the barrel, don't they? A lot of it's TV, admittedly, but it's kind of
YouTube-y, like the kind of Twitch, kind of like, you know, your Alex Jones kind of. And another thing, I sent you a video of Alex Jones eating horse medicine on Infowars. Hilarious.
Yeah. That's been a problem, hasn't it?
Is it Invermectin or something?
Yeah.
Apparently, Joe Rogan had the human version of it, and he was very. He was fine, he said. It's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
Joe Rogan thing really, really odd. Don't you?
What do you mean? As in, like, well, it's difficult, isn't it? I guess for people buy characters in, but you've got to take everything
because
in with him.
On one hand, he is hugely problematic. On the other hand, it's very hard to deny it appears to be what the people want.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because his numbers are unbelievable.
I know, like, a few, like. And it's mainly like young kind of 18-year-olds. I know a lot of young 18-year-olds, males. And they always sort of like will go, yeah, Joe Rogan was talking about this. And I'm like, where have you got that? Why are you listening to Joe Rogan?
It's like the old adage, like, I always say to people, you know, partly because I'm pretentious, even though I don't mean to be, and partly because it is genuinely true. Mm. I never watch ITV, for example, right?
Right.
The only time I watch ITV is because there's a football game on, right? They have the England games, for example.
And Dancing on Ice, of course. You love Dancing on Ice. It's your favourite thing.
Mimi quite likes that. Mm. But honestly, I genuinely say to people, and I firmly believe this, you could remove ITV from my TV and I wouldn't really, it'd take me ages to notice.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But the point is, a lot of people watch it.
Yeah.
It's massive. Mm. And it's the same with Joe Rogan. If Joe Rogan has a guest on that I am personally interested in. So, for example, he's had like Malcolm Gladwell on. Mm. He's had like interesting people.
Oh, but that's the thing. I mean,
it's actually really good, but it goes on way too long. And then sometimes, every so often, he'll drop a bombshell. And you're like, where'd that come from?
In the way that you kind of, in the way that like Marc Maron built his kind of career on just having absolutely massive guests.
Yes.
But if anyone looked at their figures, I'd sort of go, people skip past the first hour and a half of him just talking about his failed relationships and his miserable life and playing guitar and stuff.
Yeah, I remember he was one of the original ones. I remember listening to that show quite a lot back in the day.
Well, look, he forged a career out of it.
It's an interesting question though, isn't it? Because it's almost a, so I don't want to get too kind of deep about it, but like news and entertainment's been massively blurred, right? So the idea being that if you are someone who essentially, because of the way the internet's kicked everyone's asses and no one really knew what to expect. And now all of a sudden, the idea of chasing ratings or chasing clicks or whatever for what is ostensibly some kind of news offering has taken arguably precedence over the actual report on the news. So yeah. comment and commentary and opinion has become mm-hmm. really big.
Yeah.
That's really a difficult square to circle because you've got someone like Joe Rogan who he is essentially an entertainment show. He's ultimately just an entertainment show, but he's dishing out things that he says are factual, but they're not always factual.
Mm.
But on the other hand, like his listenership is gigantic.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can't really send, it's not really, it's kind of a bit of a get out of jail free card, not really solving the problem thing to try and censor it.
Mm.
But then what people also say, the argument goes along another step and they say, well, that Milo guy, that complete fucking idiot Milo, who was completely deplatformed and now he's nowhere.
Yeah.
So maybe it does work, but is it the right thing to do?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's a very complicated situation we've got for us. We've woven a tangled web.
But it's never the host itself. It's always the company that has a responsibility. Like, you know, your providers, Facebook. You know,
but if Joe Rogan had his own platform, he would still be huge.
Yeah, but he's built his whole career on someone else's platform, and yes, someone will sort of move in. But that money has to come from somewhere, and if advertisers aren't up for paying for it, presumably, and the kind of like the market isn't up for paying for it, presumably, like there's only so many Coca-Colas that have the kind of finances that could finance a deal like that. You know what I mean? You need to play toe the line a little bit and be palatable to pressure groups that would otherwise have you chucked off the platform. I think you've still got to be slightly responsible. And we've said it before, like advertising is frequently in 2021 a cause for change and a cause for good, because that is a market pressure that you can apply.
Yeah.
You know, we can force companies into making the right decision by going through the advertising route. And it's happened so many times. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
This is a really big long run up to say that that horse medicine is making men infertile, right?
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So people sort of say, well, just let them do it then. Let them do it.
Nature finds a way.
Let them do it.
It's like that old, wasn't it that famous, that old monastic sect, I don't know, in like 1600s in Spain or whatever, where they were a particularly, you know, pretty virulent, like really faithful, restrictive monastery.
Yeah.
Where it's just men and they weren't allowed to have any children. And then obviously because... I mean, it just died out. So that was the end of that.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what happened with the commentariat.
they didn't think ahead then. No, exactly. They didn't think ahead.
So anyway, Pete, this week we've got, I believe, and this is really the only place we should really start, I think.
Okay.
People who listen to this show regularly will have been seduced and I think romanticised and actually very charmed by Longboy.
Longboy, the duck.
The great duck, that university, the world, I think possibly the world's biggest duck or whatever. But our friend Dylan has sent us in a link to a new inspirational duck, very much in the spirit of Longboy.
Because
I think people probably thought that, you know, their chat about, you know, ducks of note was probably over.
Yeah.
And that Clash of the Titles doing Howard the Duck live is probably as far as it's going to go. Not so. Dylan sent this in. Pete, this is, I believe, a talking duck.
A talking Australian duck. And this is what he sounds like.
What is it?
Just pause it there, Pete, because I think researchers are adamant that this Australian musk duck named Ripper, Australian duck, something we call Ripper, is repeating the phrase, "you bloody fool," that he's repeatedly heard other people say. So what you're supposed to be hearing there is a duck saying, "you bloody fool."
And the recording sounds a little bit like it was on a wax cylinder from like the 1890s.
And it's really fast.
It's really fast as well. So here he is saying it a little slower. You bloody fool.
Now, is this a case of scientists, researchers doing what I believe they always do, where they get into a particular area of science, they're really passionate about it, and good for them, it's really important for society as we know,
and the money runs out
and they just are insistent that this is what's happening and this is a great new area of science, and as you said, the money runs out and they want to get their funding.
I think that is definitely the case. I don't think ducks can really mimic, can they? And they certainly can't mimic sound. So
I've heard of several birds that can, but I don't remember.
I don't think the duck is in there. But
do you prefer that duck or do you prefer Longboy?
No, I prefer Longboy because he's just magnificent. But
Did you hear me bang my knee against the table?
He's so excited. Yeah. You bloody fool. You bloody fool.
Also, can
he's
I,
a lovely little chap,
can
though.
I just be a little bit more controversial and say
yeah. that even that if... That dog is a shit.
Even if Ripper was saying you bloody fool, the ramifications are still quite underwhelming.
What do you mean? Like,
because we've known that birds can repeat people anyway. Doesn't tell us.
Oh, yeah, so what are we learning out about it?
Tell us anything.
I don't know. I would want to know who's been messing with that duck saying... Saying you bloody fool.
Because if you could teach, so you can teach a budgie to
budge.
To repeat words. Or a cockatoo or whatever.
Mm.
Other than the fact that it's just quite a novelty, and like back in the 1920s, people liked it as part of a circus or something. What's it actually doing? Because a dog can fetch stuff.
Yeah.
You know, dogs can do stuff. What are we getting out of that? Why is it so good?
Well, it has very few uses, I suppose. There's very few. We can't make any money out of it.
No.
We can't teach other birds to do anything through it. There's very few applications to having anyone being able to say, you bloody fool, at any point, really.
Sounds quite Welsh.
You bloody fool.
That sounds quite Welsh, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, just changing train slightly, do you remember on Monday I told you I was going to say a story about, on Monday I told you about my friend Phil who runs a guest house.
Right, okay.
I also, for some reason earlier today, you and I were chatting and the country of Bahrain came up.
Bahrain?
And Phil also used to live in Bahrain.
Oh.
And he told me that his earliest memory, he was very young when he lived there, his earliest memory was being told by his parents and any adult, don't go to the playground during the day.
Yeah.
Bahrain, Middle East, really fucking hot. Right.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't go to the
playground. You just can't.
Yeah.
Why is the playground even there?
And every kid knew that.
A night playground.
I guess it was probably a winter evening playground, maybe.
Yeah.
And every kid knew that. He said, he maintains to me, and listen, this is a story that you might, if you're squeamish, you might not want to hear.
Mm.
So take it on advice from me that you might not want to hear this. It's a fucking good story, though. He said that there was a girl who, about his age or a bit older, who never got that advice.
Right.
And just ran away from her parents, got to the top of the slide, slid down the slide, and you can imagine what happened.
Burned bum. Skin came off.
Legs, bum, everything. Yeah.
Big burn bum. That is bad, yeah.
You don't want to be leaving part of your body at the top of the slide, do you?
Well, that is horrific. That is absolutely horrific.
Bad.
The worst. The
it's
worst.
Bad.
I seem to recall.
What I don't get is why she sat on it and went, yeah, I'm sliding.
I don't think. How did her body allow her to slide? I don't think if you're already getting welded to the fucking slide, how are you even sliding? That's what I want to know.
Maybe
your shoes would melt.
It's a classic tale that someone told me.
Mm.
Might be apocryphal.
Tale as old as time.
Song as old as rhyme. Burning on the slide. Yeah.
Yeah. You could fry an egg down that slide.
Probably could. Do you remember when people used to be well into it in the 80s, saying that you could fry an egg on the car bonnet and stuff?
And you'd have a go. Car bonnets would work, but I think like they used to say on the sidewalk, and people would do it, and it was always underwhelming. You wouldn't want to eat that egg.
But
it's the sort of egg you'd see on top of steak tartare, uncooked.
Yeah, and people would, that would be what passes for entertainment back then.
Mm.
Like,
and if you do it near a canal, the ducks will go past and go, you bloody fool, that's one of my children,
one of my eggs. Do you think there was a time when it was like, your world was very small because there's no internet, then for about 5 years the internet was amazing, and now it's fucking hellish.
Yeah, I just want to find out things away from the internet, that's why I started a drive.
But there's some...
I want to visit that weird M1 porno emporium.
So a lot of people are fond of saying that instead of exploring outer space, the reason that the space journey that we've been on,
and you explore your butt,
has been underwhelming.
Yeah.
Is because finances and big decision makers on Earth decided to explore cyberspace instead, right? Mm. So that's where all the attention went because it was so revolutionary. But in a way, that's a shame because back in the day, as a kid, if someone said something to you, you couldn't really prove it. You couldn't say, because you'd have people who go, oh, yeah, Michael Jackson went to my house and used a toilet.
Yeah, I do have a Ninja Turtles 2 VHS that my dad got from the oil rig.
Now you can go, bang, Michael Jackson's dead.
Doesn't exist, mate. The film doesn't exist yet.
Or bang, the film's not been made.
Yeah.
You're talking fucking shit. Right? Or, you know, whatever. Back then, there'd be no way of kind of telling people. And then for about 5 years, like I say, you're a big fan of saying this as well, the internet was amazing.
It was. Wild West. No, it's just shit.
Yeah, and then the money men got involved. People say that same thing about Luke and Peter.
Inspirational messages on Instagram.
It's good until the money men got involved. But anyway, listen, before we move to a break, what you got planned for this weekend?
you know what? I've given myself a weekend off. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing nothing. I've been doing too much. I had a week of planning videos and stuff for the old podcast festival last weekend. We had a lovely time. Thank you, anyone who came down for the shows. Yeah. And the week before that, I was doing something. I'm having a weekend off.
What does a weekend off look like to you? Walking a dog you have access to? Eat a lot of oysters you've got access to?
Yeah. Eating constant seafood, just whelks and cockles and peppery, vinegary.
So you're not going to for my birthday weekend?
Oh, when's your birthday? Birthday. Oh, it's Monday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we're going for a meal, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Not just you and me, though. Oh, I would be up for that. But
Mimi's fuming. Absolutely fuming.
She's used to it.
Things change, baby.
They do.
Baby. Yeah. I'm very much enjoying saying baby, like the mum out of the TV show Schitt's Creek. It was the mum out of Home Alone.
She is.
Baby.
There was an episode of Schitt's Creek playing out in my house yesterday.
Yeah.
Sweet beans, baby. All right. Baby. Listen, on that note, let's have a little break. When we come back, we'll do some battery brands. And then we'll also do a couple more of your emails. It's going to be lots of fun. So don't go anywhere. We'll see you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back with the Luke and the Pete show. We've got some battery brands, Luke, we've got to get through. I'm going to kick off with Kyogo, who sent in some judo batteries on Twitter. Is that Celtics Kyogo Furuhashi, maybe?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Possibly,
if it is.
It'd be amazing if it was. Really ingratiating himself into the culture of Britain.
Of Luke and Pete show. Do you want me to do the search, do you?
I'll do the search if you want, crack on for... what was the name of the batteries?
The battery brand is Judo.
Judo. I think we've had those before, mate. We have had Judos before on several occasions. So unlucky Yeah, a lot of things coming in about the I see you know your judo well, sir, or whatever, you know, that guy. So it's a little bit confusing, but no, we've already had judo, unfortunately. Thank you, Kyogo, for getting in touch, though, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Get some, like, proper branded batteries, presumably you can afford it.
Yeah.
Ben Holden has been in touch from Finland, no less. Have I been to Finland? No, I haven't.
Have I been to Finland? I'm always surprised when I have been, which is once. I'm very surprised how close it is to Russia. It's weirdly close to Russia.
So a friend of mine's mother is Finnish. Right. She's half Finnish, obviously. Mm. So I got a little bit of access into how it all works through that.
How it all works.
And the language is very, very weird.
Yeah.
Like, so you've got, I think you've got probably Denmark, Sweden, Norway are kind of their own thing. Mm. Iceland get involved a little bit sometimes. Mm. And Finland, Finland are minor bit kind of in between, aren't they?
Isn't it like Iceland's like the proper old school language, and then going east, it just gets newer and newer, I suppose.
Yeah, but I think the traditional categorisation of Scandinavia, I think it's just Denmark, Sweden and Norway.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone once told me that the way Iceland was populated was the second-born sons of Denmark got pissed off and not getting anything and went to Iceland and started their own thing.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, because, like who? What was his bloody name now? Some guy just united Denmark when it was just an absolute shit pit. It was just all different kind of wards and stuff, and he just kind of united everyone. And he had a Bluetooth. I think his nickname, that's where the word Bluetooth comes from.
It's Harold Bluetooth,
Harold,
right?
Bluetooth, yeah.
Oh, right, that's interesting.
Like, and Bluetooth is, I can only look at history through the, you know, through mobile phone technology, it seems. But yeah, he was Harold Bluetooth, and he united Denmark, and we named Bluetooth after him because that unites devices, so to speak.
That is great.
Great.
That is great. So apparently, yeah, he had just looking him up now. He introduced Christianity to Denmark and consolidated his rule over most of Jutland and Zealand and ruled as king of Denmark from 958 to 986.
But Ben, you fucked it, mate, because rainbow batteries have been mentioned many, many times.
Okay, so that's a little bit of controversy there.
Matt, but
there's a big bit of controversy here, because although we officially said that that someone, I forget who it was now, entered Carrera batteries in and they were a new player last week, we've actually been shown a tweet saying that Ben Whitney sent in Carrera batteries on Twitter the 5th of December 2018.
Oh, okay.
So they weren't actually a new player, Carreras.
Sorry, mate. What are you going to do? This is a nightmare.
I mean, we run this show like an absolute fucking shit show, so don't worry about it.
You missed out on Ben's email he sent in Finnish. Thank you very much and keep up the great show.
How do you say it?
Kiitos paljon ja jatka hyvä chota jatlesia. I had to go. That was close.
Shall I have a go?
Have a go.
Klitos Pajon Jajatka Hiva Toyota Ne Telesia.
I think that V's a soft one. Sure.
Yeah, probably is. Sure. Oh, the same as that Danish thing.
Natelsia.
Okay.
Tha.
Listen.
Look, Ben.
The word for alkaline battery in Finnish is alkali paristo or alkalisked battery.
I am loving it. Ben, let us know who did the pronunciation best. And we get a battery to eat afterwards.
It's the most confused I've been since I went to Iceland and bought a chocolate bar which was full of licorice.
Yes, please.
Yeah, you loved it. I bloody didn't. So that's the batteries. Do send your battery brands in. We are desperate for some new players. We haven't had any for a little while because of the Carrera controversy and because of this week people have fallen short. But we'll look again next week, next Thursday. Now, email time. Let's see what we've got here. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Here's an email from Dev. I've had this one on the slate for a while. It's about long walks. Remember we talked about the amount of steps people could do and the long walks and all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Well, Dev's been in touch from Melbourne, Australia.
Nice.
You been to Melbourne?
Like it. No, never been to Australia. Never dirtied my boots.
No?
Can't speak the language.
You don't fancy Australia or New Zealand, no?
Nah, it's just Britain but hot, innit? Well, New Zealand looks nice.
Looks
all leafy and stuff.
Lovely.
Yeah.
You're going all the way to Japan, you should just tack something on, mate.
Yeah.
It's only another 14 hours. So would you like Australia, do you think?
I don't think I'd like Australia because isn't it just Britain but hot? It's just
Britain, and all the men are alpha males.
All the men, yeah, exactly. And all the men can do stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen 51st Dates, whatever it's called. Or
what's that?
Is it where you... No. New bride date.
Oh, married first sight.
Australia, yeah.
New bride date. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's all fucking nonsense. Why am I shouldn't be pilloried for just throwing words at a wall.
What do you reckon about Married at First Sight? Imagine if you were on that.
Just a lot of modern, spoiler alert, a lot of modern reality TV. People get very serious very quickly.
Yes.
And I don't understand how they can sell that when they're not actors. They're not very good at it.
I'm thinking,
not buying it.
If I'm on Married at First Sight and you're the one they pair me up with,
yeah.
Lots to take in. Lots to take in.
For battery brand.
Have you seen Married at First Sight? You know who's obsessed with it?
Who?
Jules.
Yeah, no, Married at First Sight. So we watched Married at First Sight Australia right the way through. And everyone's just mad. Everyone's just absolutely mad.
Same with 90 Day Fiancé, by the way.
Yeah, all that stuff. All that mad stuff. There's isn't there a UK variant where there was a clip going around where this woman goes up the aisle and the groom goes, "Oh, hello, you're very pretty." And then somebody shouted from the crowd, "That's the bridesmaid, Dave. That's the bridesmaid."
It wasn't staged. It wasn't staged.
Fuck you. I don't know where they get these people. And then there was this one scene that Sarah's watching, and it seemed to be going quite well. He seemed like a normal bloke, ex-army. And then he did one of the most horrific fucking speeches, saying that he demands his fucking breakfast and he likes beans on his breakfast. Like, this really misogynistic piece of shit speech.
Right.
Really put everyone's teeth on edge. And then it went back to her going, "I'm just really looking forward to getting to know him more." You've got to know him more. He just did a horrible fucking speech. He's on a bash on the head.
That's not ideal, is it?
Not ideal. I think
the same way the internet went to shit when the Money Men got involved, correct?
Yeah.
When people worked out how to monetize it.
Yeah,
properly.
Yeah.
Brands, that kind of stuff.
I'll just do it again. They just go, "Let's do that again."
I think reality TV went to shit when people realized it was an end of itself.
Mm.
So, for example, the first series of Big Brother was genuinely interesting. No one knew what to expect. It was normal people. Do you know what I mean? It was genuinely a social experiment. Yeah. And you could probably argue for the next few seasons or whatever. Now people see it as an end.
Right.
They think I could be a Ryland Clark.
Well, to be fair, it's gone all right for him.
He's great. But Ryland's great. He's talented. He's a good presenter. He's got a lot of charisma. His charisma is underpinned by a good amount of self-awareness and a good amount of self-deprecation.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets it.
Yeah.
And that's how he can do your This Mornings or your Cinch adverts. Good luck to him, I say.
But he's also... He's also thick enough to be a mainstream presenter, which I genuinely think you have to be a bit empty and not really have opinions, like strong opinions about anything that's going to get you into trouble. I think there's a certain level of really mainstream kind of Saturday night presenter with some varying exceptions. You have to be a little bit basic.
I think you're right. And I think actually I would go further.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I would say absolutely there's nothing wrong with that. And I would also go further and say, there's a great sweet spot of intelligence and thickness that if you're in the entertainment industry or the sporting industry, you can do brilliantly well. Because what you find is if you're too stupid to do any of it, obviously you're not going to be able to do it, right? You can't be brain dead thick and be a good TV presenter.
No.
Right, and it's the same with a football manager.
Yeah.
If you're too clever... People get intimidated. You alienate people. Your jokes or your stories are a bit esoteric. It doesn't work.
Mm.
If you can get in that sweet spot where you're not too clever, you're not too stupid, and you look good, and you've got a bit of self-awareness, you're away.
Yeah,
you are fucking away.
Completely agree.
There's so many examples of that. And Ryland is a great example of it. I don't think for one second Ryland's thick.
No.
Neither is he clever.
I just think that as a presenter...
Lovely teeth.
Lovely teeth. I was never a good presenter, and I'm still not a good presenter. But the times in which I kind of tie myself in knots is when I'm trying to think of something clever or funny, and I'm not clever or funny enough to say it. Right?
Yeah.
And thick people don't generally care about like appearing clever.
Yeah, you're
overthinking. Or funny
because you don't have to.
So I'm clever enough to try. But I'm not clever enough to do. So that's why I'm bad at my job.
I am the exception that proves the sweet spot rule. Because I'm not that clever, but nor am I stupid. I'm still quite bad. But I found the same when I was doing radio. Like, it's fucking hard. I was actually making the point the other day, Pete, actually. I wonder what you think about this. Sorry, by the way, Dev, sorry about this. We will get to you in a minute. Is that, you know, there's a show called, I forget what it's called now, but it's on Apple TV and it's got Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
It's a show.
Oh, about the breakfast show.
Yes.
Like Fox or something.
So that shows you in a weird way how good actors are. because being a brilliant, competent looking breakfast show presenter on TV is fucking hard.
Mm.
And they're acting at doing that. They're not that.
Yeah.
But if they weren't brilliant at it, it would completely destroy the illusion.
Yes.
So that shows you in a nutshell how good actors are.
When the, people like...
Because that's a skill.
So my partner is a presenter and has also done some acting. So she's ideal in those little roles where you kind of have
what
to
What does she
be,
find harder?
I think she enjoys acting more, but she loves presenting as well. She's fucking good at presenting. She's fucking good at acting, in fact. But she doesn't get to do enough acting, and I think that's fair.
I haven't seen much of her acting work, but she's a brilliant presenter.
But it's effortless, but absolutely effortless. But she's very clever, which is weird. I'm going back on what I said earlier on, by the way.
Yeah.
When you watch people who, like, she had a role in, like, Silent Witness, where, you know, a 5 minute thing where she was a TV presenter outside, she was like a newsreader outside Scotland Yard or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, actors doing that role, it's fucking hard because they're too acty.
Yeah.
They put too much into it.
It never looks authentic.
Yeah, newsreaders and news anchors, they're coming at it from a different direction.
100%.
They're information and stuff. So you can always tell about a poorly acted, it's quite hard and tricky to do, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My point is, you're absolutely right. And I guess to explain it another way, what I mean is, if you're a good actor and you're brilliant, and they ask you to play a surgeon, right, you're going to be brilliant as a surgeon. Mm. They're not going to make you actually do surgery. But on the TV presenting role, they will. You have to be authentic. You have to look good.
Yeah.
Because you actually got to do the job, or it's going to look mental. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting as an insight to how good they are. Anyway, we always talk about presenting skills. I think probably because we wish we were both better.
Back on radio.
Dev, you're still with us. Yeah. You haven't gone anywhere. It's not like a radio show. You had to hang on the phone line for about 10 minutes.
So sorry, Dev.
That's something.
Sorry, Dev, mate.
So Dev's in Melbourne. He says, a few weeks ago, you were discussing the longest walks your listeners have done in a single session. And finally, I had something I could contribute to. In 2016, a few friends and I took part in the Oxfam Trail Walker, which is a yearly event taking place in many different countries. You can take part in the original Gurkha Trail in Hong Kong, walk along the Via Verde of Girona, or, for instance, hike through the rugged Australian bush. We took part in the Melbourne event, where a team of four hike 100 kilometres and in the process raise money to overcome poverty and injustice all around the world. Sounds like a great cause. Good for you, Dev. He says, we completed the 100 kilometres in just over 30 hours.
Jeez.
He said, if you're interested in how many steps that was, this accounted to 140,000 steps.
I think if
that's a fucking lot.
If my phone detected that, it'd be like, call the police. He's been dragged somewhere.
He's about to be tortured. My brother-in-law Evan did the most I've ever seen with my own eyes on a device. With my brother Evan did 92,000 in a day's hike. So 140,000 is the most I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He says by far the hardest part was walking through the night because time passed so slowly. And it was obviously dark between 6 p.m. and sunrise. We also pretty much ran out of games and things to talk about with each other after about 50 kilometres. And what was motivating each other just turned into tolerating each other as the night went on. Three of us finished the hike. One of our friends picked up too many blisters and wasn't able to go past 80 kilometres.
Oh.
Fortunately, I didn't get any blisters, but I did encounter a lot of chafing and bone bruising, which meant I limped around for a couple of weeks afterwards. I attribute this to having a decent pair of hiking boots, which I did the whole walk in. I recommend everyone do the same. They last forever and are well worth the money. I probably wouldn't do it again, but it's something I'm at least proud to say I've done in the past. Love the show. You've helped me get through many household chores over the years, so thanks for what you do, Dev.
What's the deal with like hiking boots? They're like, they always look very, very uncomfortable. Why would you not go for trainers over hiking boots?
So the hiking shoes I've got, they have almost like a rubber sole outer. The grip's a lot better. And they're waterproof.
Right, okay.
And then, so a lot of people wear the boots, which give you ankle support. I don't wear those, which is part of the reason I fucking sprained my ankle about 3 months ago in a really painful way. But they're waterproof generally. They've got better grip. They're designed for walking over kind of rugged terrain. So, for example, if you just had a pair of trainers on, the cushioning would be good. But trainers aren't really meant for a bouldery, rocky trail up going uphill
Slipping.
Where you're treading on lots of different types of
stones
and stuff. And I'll tell you now, I've done a couple of trail walks in normal trainers. And you just feel every little stone.
Mm.
And it's just really painful after a while. Those ones have got much more thicker, rubber-supported soles.
What about Spice Girls platforms? If I'm wearing them.
The Wi-Fi I have access to and I hiked the Old Man of Store, which isn't a difficult one, but it takes you a good few hours. Mm. And the weather can be treacherous because it's on Sky. And some parts of it are quite tough. And we saw like Japanese tourists in like high heels and wedges and stuff.
Mm.
And coming up, going up at half an hour and going back again. It's like, what do you expect to be happening here? And the one big thing that I saw people making the mistake of as well is wearing a big poncho.
Right.
You don't want a big poncho up on a mountain because it acts like a sail.
Oh, you just get blown about all over the place.
You get blown off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Okay. And that's not what you're expecting, is it? Getting blown off at the top of a mountain, Pete.
It's not what you want. Unless you booked it. I don't know. As a feature. Yeah. Restorative.
Exactly. There we go then. All right. That's it, Pete, isn't it? Why don't you take us out of here?
take us out of here? Like in a little cart. This has been the Luke and Pete Show.
Pass
if you want
test.
To get in touch with the show, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We'll be back on, shall we say, Monday, guys. Shall we see you back here on Monday?
With special guest host Ryland Clark.
Special guest host Ryland Clark. And look after yourselves, look after each other, and watch out for any sweary ducks.
Yeah, and I think this week has told us that we need to get more correspondence from you guys.
Mm.
What jobs could Pete do when he's no longer doing this?
Mm.
What's the longest walk you've done? Have you encountered any talking animals?
Or busty MILFs?
Maybe not busty MILFs.
All right.
Because we've already got a lot of spam in there.
What's your favourite busty MILF?
I'm my favourite busty MILF.
Oh, dear. We'll be back soon. See you later.
Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.